Well, I gotta say, the amount of reading of the Word and the singing and the prayer of Pastor Joe, nothing that we read is promised other than God's holy Word to change us and transform us. It is refreshing to hear the prayers, the reading, the singing. Very encouraging. Not only that, I did not expect to be a little emotional. It's like the mothership of where this all started for Deity and I is here. And so old friends, new friends, we are truly great to, we're glad to be back. And not only that, we have been praying for you guys, not only individually, but corporately. We know that you guys have had your hands full. We know that the devil is out like a roaring lion doing what he's doing. The last time I was here, I did ask you guys to pray for Dee and I, and we have felt those prayers. And I think a prayer meeting is almost about to break out after Pastor Joe. Hey, brother, after that. So anyway, so my scripture reading was read, and Joe prayed. Before we go to our text, by way of introduction this afternoon, I just want to take a few minutes to talk about discipleship. Also, some background regarding Paul and his disciples in Ephesus, as well as all of Asia. Discipleship. When you hear that word, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Listening to a sermon on sermon audio? Thinking of a book study? Going to a serious classes at a church? And then say, I have been discipled. If you are a Christian, God's will for you is to be a disciple of Christ. A called out, sold out, all in follower of Jesus. One who sits at the feet of the Master like Mary, listening and beholding her Savior. One who is learning from Him and taking up His cross and pursuing Him. One who wants to do the will of God. So again, I ask you, when you hear the word discipleship, what comes to your mind? If you are going to be a follower of Christ, if you are going to be a learner of Christ, if you are going to sit at the feet of the Master and hear His Word, then you need to consider some truths that we are going to see in our passage today. If I could give this message a title this afternoon, it would be Prayer, the Bottom Line of Discipleship. Let me say that again. Prayer, the Bottom Line of Discipleship. Now, this letter to the Ephesians tells us Paul, by special revelation, was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to him by power of the Holy Spirit, to preach Christ and Him crucified, to make disciples and go out and bring all those who were afar off, namely the Greeks. Great news. Fantastic news. Now, while he was on his third missionary trip in Acts 19, Paul was passing through an inland route through Asia and came to Ephesus and met some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No. We have not even heard the Holy Spirit was given." He said to them, "Then where were you baptized? What were you baptized into?" And they said, "John's baptism." Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in Him who is coming after him, that is, Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized of Jesus. Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying, and the Bible says there were all about 12. Now, for the next 2 years, Paul taught and ministered in Ephesus. And the Bible says, all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Also, Acts 19 tells us, God was performing extraordinary works, miracles, that even the handkerchiefs that had been with Paul would be carried to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. These garments were not magical or powerful in themselves. It was, as the ESV study notes suggest, that the Holy Spirit was so pleased to manifest himself so powerfully, so strongly through Paul, that the Spirit's presence sometimes remained evident in connections with the objects. That's incredible to me. Now, brethren, we understand that the Holy Spirit manifests himself differently today. Joe just went like that. I know he did. However, his power is no less effective, no less powerful. What could be more important than praying for the Holy Spirit to minister to us in the church? I'm sure in your prayer meeting in the morning you guys were doing that, and I surely heard it in Joe's prayers. The true worshipers, you guys know the verse, shall worship God in truth and spirit. Now, Paul's many prayers throughout all of his writing emphasize this need. We have many of them in record in the inspired text. What a precious blessing we have available to us. Paul's doctrinal gospel-centered prayers, like the one that is in our text. Now let's consider what we can glean and weave into our prayers as disciples and in the church who are called to make disciples, not mechanically, but with his power, not mechanically, not in programs, but in his power. Now, as we look at our text this afternoon, I want you to consider two important truths that emerge from this text. I'm going to say that again because I'm not sure we're going to get to the second important truth. I'm pretty positive that we probably will not get there. So, let's consider the two truths. I'll read them that emerge from this text. But we'll be focusing on the important truth number one today. You need to be strengthened. You need, as a disciple, to be strengthened. And two, you need to be strengthened to know the love of Christ so that you can be the disciple God wants you to be. Important truth number one. Look at our text. You need to be strengthened. Let's just look at verse 16 and 17 one more time. I wanted to read that text. Wow, you got it. That was good. I like it. That he would grant you, Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Now, to further understand, let's ask three questions of our text today. We're going to ask three questions of our text today to help us to understand our text that we just read in 16 and 17. Question number one. In your bulletin, you have notes. We are strengthened with. What are we strengthened with? I'll say it again. Question number one, what are we strengthened with? Well, answer, his power. We are strengthened with his power. Here in the text, verse 16, Paul's prayer is a stronger request than in the first chapter. Because let me read that real quick. Don't turn there, but let me just read that. In the first chapter, Paul's petition for God's power in this text is not a new one. 1:18-19, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. This was the prayer in the first chapter. So that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, what is the inheritance of saints, what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe. Now, verse 16, here in our text, Paul's prayer is a stronger request than in the first chapter. Because his request is not just that we know that God has power, but in addition, he prays that he would grant you to be strengthened with His power. Brethren, we need to pursue the power. Wait, once in a while, one time? Get ahead of myself. Now, strengthened here, meaning make strong, become strong, physically and in our own constitution and temperament. The Greek word for strengthen is a verb that's rarely used. Be aware of the regular need of His power. So the first question's answer, once again, what are we strengthened with? His power. Question number two, where are we strengthened? Question number two, where are we strengthened? Answer, in our inner being. Our heart. Our strengthening comes from His power, not randomly or just broadcasted, but specifically in what Paul refers to as our inner man, or inner being, if you will. Note the equivalent meaning also our heart. That's where this strengthening takes place. The spiritual strengthening takes place in our heart. The phrase is uniquely Pauline. We see this message in other familiar passages. Don't turn to this one. We're going to turn to the next one. I want to read this just for the sake of time. Romans 7:21-24. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Now this one we want to turn to. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, as my brother Kofi from the UK would say, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 16. This, as you're turning there, now this phrasing is exactly this phrasing that's in our text. Now I think it's important. You guys have read this one before. It's not new. Verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, but through our outer man is decaying. I'm in the NASB. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Brethren, is that at the top of your mind? That there's a renewing because your outward man is dying. There needs to be a renewing in your heart, in your inner man, day by day. Now, I know if I said and asked for a show of hands, we could get a lot of show of hands. But let's remember that. Pillars, New Testament commentary says this. I like this. That's why I put it in. Pillars, New Testament commentary says this. The inner person is the interior of our being. The seat of personal consciousness and of our moral being. It is the focal point at the center of a person's life where the Spirit does His strengthening and renewing work. Indeed, the inner self stands in need of empowering given the struggles against sin and the need of daily renewing. Question number three. How are we strengthened? How are we strengthened? Answer, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, can I state the obvious? Let me just state the obvious. Our default is not to think or respond biblically. There is weakness inherent in living out our spiritual life until we go home. Romans chapter 7. Amen? Is that true? Yes. This is the reason why Paul prays. Shall we not too pray daily? Oh, how we need to pursue and appropriate and lay a hold of the Spirit. Brethren, this is where the rubber meets the road. I know that's corny, but man, it is never more true now. Every day. Did not the Lord Jesus pray to the Father and promise to send us a helper to the apostles and us? He did. Jesus prayed to the Father and He promised us He would send a helper, the Holy Spirit. I got to be honest, sometimes I forget about the Holy Spirit. I'm too smart. Sometimes I forget that there's a ministry of the Holy Spirit that is so important, that is so important, that when the apostles were losing their mind because Jesus says, I'm going to be leaving you, He says, don't worry. I'm going to pray to the Father. He's going to send you a helper. Brethren, we need the helper. I think the Lord knew our need before we even asked. We need His renewing daily. We need to be strengthened daily. Now, this is an important concept. Now, you guys are familiar with this, but just bear with me. It's not anything you haven't heard before. But man, we got to focus on it. The Bible says we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. I don't know about you, that's good news. That's good news for me. I'll take it. Where's the Spirit living in a believer? Can he be any closer to our heart and our inner being? Praise the Lord! That's where... Look, be honest. There could be days, weeks, Lord have mercy, that we aren't paying attention. But we're smart. We know Bible. We need to be transformed by the Spirit. Now, we need to understand. I'm going to beat this down a little bit and acknowledge. It's important to see this weakness, our sin. I'm not the guy that's going to talk about weakness and mistakes. I'm going to use the word sin. Okay, I just used it. It's real. That we are truly poor in spirit. We need to understand, acknowledge, and see our weakness and our sin. That we are truly poor in spirit. Why? Why? Listen to this. I love this. Why? So we can experience more of God's power. Brethren, so we can experience more of God's power is recognizing we need it and we are strong. Get comfortable with being weak so we can run and ask and pray like Paul for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 9. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want to. If you're a high achiever, Peter, do it. Do it. Do it. Peter's turning. That's 2 Corinthians, Peter. It's 2 Corinthians from my brother Kofi up in Oregon. Chapter 12, 7 and 9. I'm going to read it. I, Paul, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. And Paul was clued into the mystery. Man, I think he was probably the only one on the planet that got it. For a long time. I mean, he could get pretty feeling pretty special. He was doing some stuff. The handkerchief thing, okay, that's a big deal. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, I could be proud of that. For listen to what he says. For this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times. This is Paul. He said, Lord, take it from three times. You guys know that. But it's good to be reminded. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, but understand this. For power is perfected in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul said, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. I may boast about my weakness, so the power of Christ may dwell in me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay. I've asked this before sitting out there. I'm not proud of it, but I would say, so what? So what? Okay, yes, I've been strengthened by power. Okay, yes, I've been strengthened in my inner being. Okay, yes, the Holy Spirit does this. So what? How does this apply? What is the application in my life, Brother B? Well, let me encourage you with a couple of applications. One of them might be a little more difficult than the other. But the first one, when life happens, the good, the bad, and the ugly, we occupy and persevere by praying gospel-centered prayers like Paul. First thing you ought to do, you heard Pastor Joe, pray today. I mean, he was praying Scripture. We could have probably came up with 30 verses in there. And I got to tell you, it helped me to come up here and do this. It was encouraging. Pray the gospel-centered prayers to point to transforming us, changing us, so we can grow and understand more and more of the love He has for us. I want to be loved. It's in our DNA. We want to be loved. Sometimes we want to be loved a little too much from other people, and then they let us down. And then we have to realize, well, that's weakness. I need to go to the source of real love. I need to be loved by God. I need to get back fellowshipping and pursuing God and being strengthened in the man by His Spirit. If Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit, he recorded his prayers and scriptures. Are they not perfect? Are Paul's prayers perfect? Were they recorded, inspired? Did he jot them down? For us? For a lot of reasons. Yes. Should that not be our guide? Is it fair to say the will of God is to ask for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to give us power to strengthen our heart so that no matter what, it'll be well with our soul. So we can genuinely count it all joy when we fall into various trials, the testing of our faith. Do you pray for your wife? Your husband, children, your pastors, and understanding how important it is for them to be strengthened and for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I mean, yeah, we want them to know stuff. We want to give them a Bible study. I get that. We want them transformed by the Spirit. Isn't that what Paul was praying for his beloved in Ephesus when he was in jail? Think about it for just one minute. I don't want to go too long on this. But, man, he had his hands full. He's got Jews redoing their whole community way of thinking. He's got Greeks coming from all over the planet. And all that they did, they got to all come together. And you're going to come to church. And you're going to do church on the rock, Jesus Christ. And you're going to be one and you're going to love each other. We know all the other things that go along with it. Man, he's got to pray for that. He's got to pray. He's praying. Those who are disciple and teaching, your closest friends, those who you say you love, those who are sick, those in the midst of horrendous trials, that they would be strengthened in their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you're not praying, and I'm surely not telling you how to pray. I've already learned that lesson. I didn't do it, but I watched it happen. I'm saying, when it comes to a horrendous trial, when you're pancaked and the only thing you see is the difficulty that's in front of you, and you become tunnel vision, and you realize that you can't do anything, nobody else can do anything, you're stuck. About 7 years ago, and the Lord put this on my heart, I've never said this publicly, probably going to need a couple disclaimers. About 7 years ago, our son Elijah, his girlfriend / fiance, was headed to our house. He stayed in a cottage right outside. And she was killed in an automobile accident. Started a horrendous trial. Not to get too melodramatic, but it's important. Because I want to testify. When I said I'm going to encourage you with an application, and it's a so what, I mean, this is a big so what. So I want to put some meat on the bones if I can. That was a tough time. Painful. So I watched him run into the house when he got the call at about 8:30. He collapses in his mom's arms on the floor. What can I do? She just got killed coming to our house. How can this be? Man, this is a horrendous trial. So after the funeral, and all the blessings of pastors and friends and family, had to go back to their regular lives, he was still faced with, and most likely outside of Christ. So think about what the coping mechanisms look like for that kind of pain. I'm telling you, you get to go to the Holy Spirit and ask for ministry. Because he's in us. Those outside of Christ, no bueno, yeah? No bueno. All kinds of things to try to cope with pain like that. So he started getting angry and hurt. And he didn't want to talk to anybody. This was difficult. This went on for a few months. To the point sometimes that we would hear the car start off at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Just bear with me, brother, and this is important. And I would jump out of bed, and I would look through the blinds. Oh, man, where's he going? What is going on? My wife and I would be talking. Yeah, we'd say the cursory prayer. And we'd go, oh, gosh. We would do this. A lot of talking, up. We'd be up for hours, talking. There was one particular night that I went outside, and I heard screaming and yelling and banging and pain and sorrow. And I'm like, I would take 2 steps forward. He didn't want to be comforted. What could I do? I would go back. Just tears started coming down my eyes. I started praying. No, I mean praying. Begging God. Help me. Now, I understand I've got family here. I don't mean any disrespect, but for the sake of drilling down and testifying to this exact point, I recognize there was many people hurt in the community and all kinds of pain was there. So I know, Vincent, we've never talked about this. So there's no disrespect. I'm just making a point from my perspective. So I was calling out to God. And then it dawned on me. It dawned on me. Wait a minute. There is something I can do. In fact, the something that I can do is the best thing. It's the best thing I could do. Now, how did I not know that? I was discipled from Pastor Joe. Well, because we're weak. That's why we get weak. I was overtaken. This was painful. I got to tell you something. I've heard a friend of ours say, he's in the military, he said, well, pain is weakness leaving the body. Okay. Well, you know, it kind of fits a little bit. Pain is weakness. I tell you, I felt this pain that I was experiencing. Not that anybody else wasn't taking any pain, just hear me. I felt this pain leaving my body. Because I was being encouraged. You know I was being encouraged? Because the Holy Spirit in that communion was strengthening me, and the Spirit inside of me was ministering to me. And verses were popping in my head. Yes, Lord, I believe. Well, you did make him. You just lent him to us. What can I do anyway? And I started feeling powerful. It's like, okay. I went into the house. When the car starts up and he leaves at 3:00 in the morning, I said, Lord, it's in your hands. I need to rest in you. I need to pray and have the ministering and the strengthening. And I need to pray for him. You can imagine the fears that would go through our minds of what may happen. And I know all of you have had things like that and even worse. So let me drill down a little bit longer, because I am winging this for real. Testify. Brethren, I am convinced in my mind that we need to do more of this. We need to do more of testifying and of what God in His power is doing in our prayer closets. In the Old Testament, they would set up little memorials and rocks and have altars. And the grandfathers and the fathers would come out with the kids and say, okay, kids, you see this field over here? Yeah. Let me tell you what happened. There was balls of fire flying out the sky. And the Assyrian army was over there. And these balls of fire, they came up against our people. And these balls of fire were just hitting them. And boom, and boom, kids' eyes super big. Yeah, and their heads were burning off. And whatever they did. And then he says, I'm picturing in my mind, God is powerful. Brethren, how do we demonstrate? How do we convey that type of power today? Well, I'm going to tell you, the meat on the bone is this. We have to share with one another and testify to the answers of our prayers and the ministering of the Holy Spirit that's happening in our hearts. We need to tell our young ones and the people that we're discipling how this thing, prayer and communing and union and communion with Christ, happens and works. That's the answer. Now, sub point of that. Remember when I said it's the best thing? Brethren, we are predisposed in our weakness. Hear this. Please hear this. We are predisposed to choose lesser when we have best. We choose lesser when we have best. Well, what are you saying, Brother Brian? Lesser's not always bad. It's not always a negative. I'll give you an example. Let's say I'm long in the jaw. I feel like God's a million miles away from me. Can anybody raise their hand and testify that? And a brother calls me. How you doing? Ah, not just okay. You want to do coffee? Sure, we'll do coffee. Read a few scriptures. I tell him all my problems. He listens. That's a good thing. That's a good thing that we bear one another's burdens. But we don't pray. We don't pray. We have a great cup of coffee. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. We just decided that we were going to choose lesser and not best. We chose lesser and not best. Sometimes we choose sinful things. Sometimes we live in long stretches of weakness, and it becomes the normal to choose lesser. And Paul says, no, when the rubber meets the road, we choose best. We pray for the ministering of the Holy Spirit. We pray for the strengthening of the power. We get a little charismatic as Reformed, Sovereign Grace, Calvinistic. It's okay in this church. It's okay here. It's okay. Don't be afraid. I testify to the power I experienced in communing with the Lord Jesus. I had nowhere to go. You know, perhaps we're not talking about it. Just perhaps. Because we're not doing that. Just something to ponder and consider as I move to the next point. I won't have to duck if I move to the second point. The second application, encouraging you. And this is where I might have to modify to our last point. How am I doing on time? Am I okay? Great. We need to pray that God might strengthen us with power through His Spirit in our inner beings. Now look back at our text, verse 17. So it's Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Peter, you're already reading it, and I can't even find it. Man. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Verse 17, right at the beginning. So that we pray for strengthening and power in the man, power in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. I know you guys have read it a few times. There should be a couple little whistles going off there. Because, but wait a minute. I'm saved, I'm born again. If Christ is already there, why is he saying, so now it's predicated on my faith that Christ comes? Piller's commentary says this about Christ indwelling. At first sight, it seems strange for Paul to pray that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Hearts of believers. Did he not already live within them? Answer, yeah. It is noted that the focus of this request is not on the initial indwelling of Christ, but on His continual presence. The verb used in this prayer is a strong one, signifying a permanent indwelling rather than some temporary abode. It has already occurred in the book of Colossians, in relationships to the fullness of the Godhead, permanently abiding in Christ. Colossians 1. Now the key word there in our text is dwell. Dwell sounds like living, dwelling. I'm a real estate broker. Perhaps maybe I'm qualified to address the Greek just a tad. I'm going to try it on. I think I can do this. Katwekeo is the Greek word. To live, dwell in a place in an established or settled manner to reside. Root word, oikia, meaning house. There it now comes through. I'm qualified. The house. That's the description of this dwelling. Setting up, residing, long term. Christ permanently takes up residence in our hearts so we can experience His love as we grow in faith and our obedience. Simply said, Christ is always home in our heart. His desire is for us to please Him. Did you know that the main purpose that we were saved was to glorify God? It was to bring Him glory. Period. Paul sums this up. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-4. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you've received from us instructions as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. Brethren, the second point in the application, understand what God says. Remember in the introduction, do the will of God? That's when you're being a disciple. I'm not saying perfectly, but be a high achiever. The Lord purchased us with His blood. For you know the commandment that we gave you, the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this, the text says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-4, For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. I would like to conclude with the following analogy that will hopefully galvanize our lives as disciples. And then a prayer request. So just bear with me. So Dee Dee and I bought a home we currently live in about 12 years ago. It was a foreclosure. And frankly, a mess. Remodel and rehab were gracious terms as we moved in. Walls were missing. Sliding doors were broken. Walls were bowing and falling down. Not much about the structure made sense. Broken windows, trash everywhere, framing an area as well was dangerous. That's true. One day I noticed the whole structure moving in a windstorm, literally shifting back and forth. I kid you not. I'm like, what is going on? I messed up. This is bad. That was the truth. We needed a well pump badly. Our water wasn't coming out. I mean, it was bad. Foundation sketchy and failing, and the list went on. But we planned to make it our home. 12 years we've been at it. Over the years, we repaired and added walls, reframed areas, and added custom trusses to reinforce the roof structure. Windows were repaired and upgraded. Trash and dirt disappeared. New well pump and filtration system added. New roof, couple of additions, including a couple of bathrooms. The foundation repaired, yard had been replanted, flourishing, and many more of the touches that we added, we were happy with. A couple weeks ago, this is true, I looked around and I realized, man, this is good. We were changing and improving our home. We were doing it for years. And Dee and I agreed, this really feels like home. We were comfortable. We finally are set up for some real guests. We have a few more beds for the brethren. That was on Dee's list for a long time. I mean, this just happened. this is the home we wanted. Now, here it is. Similarly, Christ moves into our hearts and takes up residence permanently, forever. He purchased us in as-is condition. He found a real mess. He gives us good bones. He gives us a good foundation and he anchors us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He gives us power out of the riches of his glory and his inexhaustible power to change and transform us. Now, there's a lot for him to do. Amen on that. There's a lot for him to do. Much needed repairs, adding trusses, lots of cleaning and organization, additions and remodels that are desperately needed. And one day, the building will suit him. He will be pleased. Because he has built it. And we are like him. He has promised us he will finish the work he started. Consider the following prayer list that I'm about to share with you. Many say pray the Bible. And we're going to be closing with this. Many people say pray the Bible. I think it's a good idea. I think it's a great idea. Now, Brother Burris and I, who's sitting in the back row, we talked a couple weeks ago, I remember. He said it, and I was like, yep, that's exactly right. I mean, sometimes I pray, and I don't know what I'm thinking then, 5 seconds later. I think it was Mike, he said, you know, we should pray. You should pray out loud. I said, yeah, pray out loud. Stay on track. Hear your voice. So when your weakness takes you into balloons or whatever it may be, you can hear how stupid you sound, and you can ask God to forgive you, and keep on. Don't quit. Persevere. Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them through your word. Your word is truth. Now, this is one I want you to turn. We're going to finish off with another scripture reading today, which makes my heart just jump since we've done so much of that in this service. God has promised to use His Word and nothing else. Not that He does, but this is what He promises to use. Turn, if you please will, to Colossians 3, verse 5, and we're going to read yes to 17. Colossians 3, chapter 5, to verse 17. If you pray through and allow this passage that you're turning to change you, hear this. If you pray through and allow this passage to change you, you guys listening? You will know that you are the disciple that God wants you to be. You pray and meditate on this, you pray through this. You go, oh Lord, get this down in your heart. You'll be the disciple you're supposed to be. That's the answer to the introduction. You will be. Now I'm going to give you this before we read. You will know that God is discipling you. You will know that God is discipling you. God is discipling you. I'm all up for all the books and in the libraries and everything. But man, you better know God is discipling you. Amen?
Amen.
Colossians 3, starting in verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also walked. When you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Stop right there. Let me pull you over. Don't choose lesser and start with gossiping or talking about this. Choose best. Go to the Lord and pray when you have aught against your brother in the church. Just recognize, hey, it's okay, you're weak, I'm weak, that's what happens. But stop! Choose the best. Work on you and your sanctification and your transformation. Go to the Lord and ask Him to strengthen you, a freebie application. And take that garbage away. Recognize its weakness. Recognize your poor spirit. It's okay. God is not surprised. Going on, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man. But Christ is all in all. So as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Brethren, be kind. Have humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. Who has a complaint against you? Or whoever has a complaint against you. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfection, the bond of unity. Brethren, where does the love come from? This gives you a little snapshot of the next message. It talks about being rooted, and using an agricultural term, being rooted in love, and then being grounded in love. We have all the goods. We need to enjoy that love that God has had for us. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Brethren, we have to pray for putting off the old man and putting on the new. Ephesians 4 tells us that our old man deceives us and it grows. Left unchecked to itself, it will grow. To which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with a thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, our King, Lord, there's nobody that cares more about us than You. Nobody cares more about us than You. Lord, we do pray right now for those who are ailing, those who are in horrendous trials, those who want to rejoice in Your goodness, Lord, the whole gamut. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your strength that You do in our inner man. Lord, would You not send the power of the Spirit? Minister to us through Your Holy Spirit this day. We thank You that we can honor and worship You together as a body, Your called out assembly. And to the glory of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.